Today on Real Radio.
For whom he foreknew, he knew everything before time began. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. How does that happen? Through suffering, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Get that? Very important.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at the first seven verses of this New Testament letter. It speaks of how the Almighty orchestrates events, even adverse situations, in the lives of His people for our growth and for His glory. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable.
James is teaching us, Paul is teaching us, that there is a path which leads to glory so beautiful. That is, the glory is so beautiful that the momentary trial is not only embraced, it's cherished. It's cherished. When the disciples were beaten for their association with Jesus, they ran out, or they were released from that jail room there, and they got away from the courts when the court said, you know, beat them up, let these disciples be beaten to the pulp, and then command them not to speak anymore in Jesus' name. And they were turned loose, and those disciples went down the street, clicking their heels, bloody heels, mind you, but they didn't care. Woo-hoo! Yeah! Yes! What are those freaks all pumped up about? We're Christians. We just got the snot beat out of us for Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know what? In the midst of it all, man, I got to tell you, when I got this one punch in my face, I'm not kidding. It didn't even hurt. And with every punch, I could see, and it was supernatural. I could experience the glory of God. It was amazing. You're saying, what? That's crazy. Granted, I agree. It's crazy. Unless you're getting beat up for the cause of Christ. And he shows up because he's always there. Whatever goes on is something so precious and so deep to the growth of the Christian character that we don't shy away from attacks and tribulations and persecutions. We embrace it, which explains Fox's Book of Martyrs, the ancient record of believers in Jesus who suffered to death for the cause of Christ. Philippians 3:10 says, you guys okay? Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Say amen. Isn't that great? Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I feel like an action figure saying that. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Right? Iron Man. Well, I'm not done reading the verse. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. There's a memory card for you. Give me the glory. Give me the glory. Can't have glory without the path. Are you suffering? Yes. Ah, cheer up. God is speaking great things to you, and Jesus is right now with you, holding your hand, and he wants to infuse verses into your life. And oh, and by the way, all of this will be stored in the great hard drive of God in heaven. And on that day you stand before him, you and I will be there, and we're going to be probably having our head hanging down because we'll feel like a bunch of losers, like we failed him constantly. And maybe we'll all just kind of be hiding in the back hoping he doesn't see us. He's going to call you by name. And you're going to step up. You will step up. And he's going to say, Susie, how are you doing? Okay? Maybe? I don't know. I feel like a scumball here right now, Lord. Well, and he's going to take his finger and he's going to lift your chin off of your chest and he's going to say, now let me tell you something. Do you remember when you were going through that issue where your heart was broken and you were crying out to me and you felt like there was just no hope, you remember what you did? No, Lord. You went to the 23rd Psalm and you read that Psalm. I put that, thank you for reading my book. I put that in there, God's going to say to you. And you leaned on me. But Lord, I didn't feel like I was leaning on you. And he's going to say, I love you, but I don't care how you feel. You leaned on me. And for that, Gabriel, show her what's behind door number 3. It's going to be amazing. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul knew this. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace. God is speaking to Paul. He's been so discouraged. And we'll get to 2 Corinthians 12 in a couple of years. We'll get there. My grace, my unmerited. You can't earn it. It's decided by me, says God. And I put it upon you. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. My strength, God is speaking, is made perfect in weakness. Really? Then make me weak. Then make me weak, oh God. Therefore, Paul says in the response to the words of Christ, therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is a depth of Christianity I don't even know. This is a depth of Christianity which causes me to talk to people who have gone through it. I want to know them. Tell me something. How did you make it through that battle? Talk to me about Jesus. Church, listen, find somebody in this church. You know somebody who's hurting? You know somebody who's going through something? Ask them, how are you getting through right now? How can I pray for you? Tell me what's going on. How many times have we gone to go minister to somebody and they wind up ministering to us? Why? Jesus is there. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. That's everything. Sicknesses, weaknesses, hurts, troubles, sorrows. In my reproaches, people mocking me, throwing me off, attacking me. In my needs, I don't have enough money. Paul is saying, I can't even get a donkey. I can't even get a donkey from here to Troas. I don't have a nickel. How am I supposed to catch the 308 donkey to Troas? God provide in persecutions. People know that I'm a Christian, Paul is saying, or I open my mouth and share Jesus. Somebody picks up a rock and hits me in the head with it. In distresses. Oh man, are we in for it now? For Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. That is Christian ministry. You see, well, you go, Pastor. No. We're doing this together. Affliction creates ministry. Is this really happening to me? Will you write that down in verse 7? Is this really happening to me? When the thought comes to us, when the word comes to us, Jack, this might be a little uncomfortable. One of the questions you and I have, is this really happening to me? Have you ever had something happen in your life? Is something going on where you wake up the next morning and you think all that you've gone through was a bad dream? You ever been there? No, it didn't happen, right? My child wasn't killed in the car crash, right? That was a dream, right? No, my husband did not die, right? That was a dream, right? And you know when you wake up, there's that zone. I don't know. You can't put a time moment on it. It's in between two worlds. It can't be real. That was a dream, right? And someone says to you or reminds you or your thoughts say, I'm sorry. And it all starts again. Is this really happening to me? That's the human side of who we are. That struggles with the eternal side of who we are. Suffering and hardships and pressures reveal, confirm, solidify a believer's faith in God, and there's no way around this, Christian. Number one, look at verse 7. Faith must undergo testing. Do not raise your hand. Are you a Christian? If you in your heart say yes, then your faith and my faith must undergo testing. David said, why does the world who does, they don't believe in God, why do they have it so good? You ever think of that? And then David said, I went into the house of God and I saw the end of it all. And you know what David was saying? God, how come I can't have that? Those non-believers have that. And how come I can't do that? The non-believers get to do that. And he's whining and carrying on. And then he goes into the house of God and God says, oh, David, by the way, this is how the story ends. And David, I think, is saying, can you just forgive me for ever blabbing my mouth off like that? It's all going to come to an end. If you're not a Christian today, it's going to come to an end. Your end is the first step into an absolute eternal realm. Make no mistake about it. Do not, I repeat, do not listen to the cults that knock on your door. They may disagree with one another in some areas, but there's two things they absolutely agree with each other on. Number one, Jesus cannot be God. Isn't that interesting? That's Satan's doctrine. Number two, there is no hell. Anyone who comes along and says to you, there's no hell, is promoting and propagating a demonic doctrine from hell itself. If Satan can get you to believe that there is no hell, then Christ is irrelevant. Because we live, we eat, how's the saying go? We eat like a dog and die like a frog or something, hog. You know what I'm saying? You eat like a hog and die like a dog. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Oh, listen. That's exactly what Satan would have you to believe. Jesus is not the Son of God, and don't worry about how you live, because in the end it doesn't matter. It's annihilation. You just drop dead, you're dead. Hedonism. Grab all the gusto. Live for yourself. Look out for number one. It's the survival of the fittest. Really? I mean, honestly, do we look at the depth of deception on this enough sometimes? To think that you and I are creative people. You know, we are creative. That is an attribute of God. It is an effervescent left over from Eden by the fact that you've been created in the image of God. You create. Listen, you can look until you're goo-goo crazy, and I highly encourage you to do this. Go online later and look at the photographs that the Hubble telescope have generated in its career. Look at it. By the way, there's something that came by the Earth recently, and the Hubble took a picture of it, and no one knows what it is. No astronomer, no astrophysicist, they've never seen it before. They first of all said it was an asteroid, and then they said, well, that's impossible. It's something we've never seen before. You see, what are you saying? It's something, some thing came by Earth really close. How'd they know? The Hubble telescope caught it, took a picture of it. And when it looks out into space, when it looks out into deep, deep space, it shows you and reveals to you beauty like you've never seen before. You think a flower looks amazing? Honestly, it looks like nothing compared to some of the things that the Hubble telescope has taken pictures of in space. I just wish someday that the Lord would just go, hey! Wouldn't that be great? Oh my gosh, look at this incredible thing. We just found this amazing, planetary, glorious thing. And everybody, all the eyes of the world are on it, and the Lord just goes, that's all, folks. Amazing. He reveals his glory. The suffering, the things that we undergo. I'm going to go through some verses. Please write them down. Save them for a rainy day if they don't apply to you now. You ready for this? Faith must undergo testing. Romans 8, 28 to verse 29. I'm going to go fast. Here we go. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Has Jesus invited you into his family? For whom he foreknew, he knew everything before time began. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. How does that happen? Through suffering, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Get that? Very important. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Thank God it's not here in the bank or on Wall Street. Who are kept by the power of God. How's that happen? Through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you may be grieved by various, the word is multicolored, trials. Why? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold and that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory. Here it is at the revelation, the coming of Jesus Christ. This is right now for us. Watch this. Whom, having not seen, you love. That's what brought you here today, your love for him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Receiving, here's the end, of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You want another verse? Do we have time? One more verse. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I say, verse 16, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, or otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. He's setting himself up for something. Watch this, verse 17. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, arrogant, proud, boasting religious people. I also boast, he says. Really? For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. He's saying you guys put up with all kinds of weirdness. You guys tolerate everything. To your shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is boasting, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, that's beatings, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. Paul was left for dead more than once. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 beatings minus one. 39 stripes each time. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been at sea or in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, unbelievers, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Church, we end verse 7. Look at the last verse there, verse 7. Because you, he says, because we, us, know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. What am I saying this? We end right here. We can see heaven from here. If we pay close attention, my friends, we can see heaven from here. And I want to end with this challenge in your life. This is extra bonus here. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, it says, concerning the times and the seasons, my brethren, you'll have no need that I should write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But that day, he says, will not come upon you as a thief, because you walk in the light. He says, for example, those who get drunk at night. Those who are committed to sin are committed to sin at night, but not you. You are of the day, so that that day will not overtake you as a thief. What's he saying in 1 Thessalonians 5:1? He's saying that the Lord is coming at a time when the believer will discern the time is near. We won't know the day or the hour, but we will begin to feel the pulse of Jesus himself, who, as it were, begins to arise from his throne. You can almost hear him as we look around the world. It could be, who knows? It could be the time in which he assembles his angels. And he's saying, I got a sense my Father is going to send me. Jesus said, of that day, no man knows, not even I. Doesn't that bring you some comfort? Jesus is ready, my friend, right now to meet you. And he's getting excited when he sees the things of the world. And I love how the Father has prepared that for the Son and his bride. The church is called the bride of Christ. And the way they do it in the Middle East, specifically Israel, is the Father says when. Listen, the Son's got his honey. He's head over heels. He prepares a place for her. She's to be ready. She doesn't know when. The Father turns to the Son and says, everything's been prepared. Go get her. Thank you. And he comes so excited. There's the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive at that moment shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when you keep your eyes on that, and you remember that whatever suffering we're going through could be, it just could be, the very thing that prepares the character that he wants to have worked out in us, so that when we appear before him, he's going to say to you, James, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's going to say, Mike, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How great will that be?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable, taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians, This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book written by Paul, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, for the month of August, Pastor Jack has selected an informative book that takes a look at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember that if you are a believer, you will still face judgment, a different kind, but judgment nonetheless. And that's precisely what this book deals with. It's called Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer. Your Eternal Reward examines what Scripture says about our eternal reward as believers. We may not lose our entrance to heaven, but what we do in our earthly life will determine our standing in the eternal kingdom. Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month for Real Radio listeners. It's available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like to call us, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.